I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. This is a special edition. Jesse's not in today, but I have my good friend Rob Auten, who is a former Protestant. He's a revert. He came back to the Catholic Church, and he's got a great story. I've had him tell it over the years here at the St. Joseph Communications, and now he's my buddy because he comes to church here at the Sacred Heart Chapel with his lovely wife every Sunday, the Anglican Ordinate Mass, a very reverent Mass that's at 9 o'clock every Sunday. My little plug, if you're in Southern California, come to the Sacred Heart Chapel and join us for worship.
Come on down.
Yeah, it's a beautiful Mass and homily and singing. And, you know, we have a small group of people, but it's very, very special. Rob, I want to welcome you to the Terry and Jesse Show, brother.
Thanks, Terry.
Hey, I wanted to let our listeners know a little bit about who you are. And, you know, I'm going to set the stage. This is going to sound funny. The man sitting next to me was involved with Calvary Chapel, and everybody knows that's not Catholic. Yeah, you think? And matter of fact, the Calvary Chapel people work on bringing Catholics out of the church into Calvary Chapel. Now, today, Rob is involved for years now with the Legion of Mary. Now, I scratch my head and say, okay, wait a minute. You were anti-Catholic, you were at one time in Calvary Chapel, and now you love the Blessed Virgin Mary. Okay, that doesn't compute, Rob. Give us the background. Give us your background on how you know, a Catholic, fallen away, joined Calvary Chapel, and then come back as a fervent Catholic who loves the Blessed Mother, who loves the Eucharist, who loves Holy Mother the Church. Give us your story, brother.
Okay, Terry. Well, first of all, I'm not a revert. I'm a convert.
Oh, I thought you were a revert.
Yeah, I was baptized here in Covina at the First Presbyterian Church in 1953.
Well, I'm glad you corrected me.
I used to love the Lord Jesus as a little boy, but during high school, I went far, far away from him as far as I could get.
Did you go to Covina High School with my brother?
I went to Covina High with your brother. I know. Your brother,
Pat Barber.
Pat. He was a catcher.
That's right. I remember watching him play baseball. I thought you were you are a convert.
I'm a convert.
Tell us, that even makes it more interesting that you love the Blessed Mother so much now.
Yeah, I know. Most people are going the other way. They're leaving the church and going to Calvary Chapel.
That's right.
But I was the exception, I guess. There's quite a few pastors and theological thinkers that are going into the church. I was one of them.
Yeah.
But it took a long time.
Well, what was it? I mean, let's say, when you were in Calvary Chapel, did you actually teach Bible classes there?
Oh, yeah. I pastored a church in Payson, Arizona, and I taught at the Calvary Chapel Bible School in Twin Peaks, California. And I was never anti-Catholic.
Well, most people that I know from Calvary Chapel are. So you had no real affinity. Did you ever talk to Catholics about coming out of the church and joining your church?
I did, and I didn't feel real good about it.
No kidding. Why? Yeah.
Well,
that's an interesting concept. I wouldn't think you. I think you would.
I was convinced that the Calvary Chapel beliefs were true. One particular couple, I remember trying to encourage them to join Calvary Chapel. I had convinced them of all the Protestant apologetics.
Yes.
Then there was something beyond and over and above that, or beneath it, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
They felt like they just couldn't betray their church.
Ah.
And I came apart from that encounter, yes, feeling like, well, the church was like their mother to them. It was like going away from their mother. It was something very deep and familial.
Yeah.
And, that's what it was. I didn't understand it at the time. I was never anti-Catholic. Especially around here in the East San Gabriel Valley, with Calvary Chapel, West Covina, and Golden Springs. The pastor there was an ex-altar boy. He had still has a real grudge to bear against Catholics, because to admit that there's validity in the Catholic Church, that would make his entire life story invalid.
Now, this is a conversation. So back in 1986, were you at the Calvary Chapel on Puente and Sunset, the grocery store, the converted grocery store?
In and out of there.
Well,
before that, I was involved with Calvary Chapel. That was back in the 70s.
Okay, so you go before me, because that's the church I got thrown out of.
Yeah. That was, I was started going there off and on when it was in a karate studio.
Oh, gosh, you go
karate
way
studios,
back.
Karate studios, supermarkets, gymnasiums.
So our listeners are going, wait a minute, you're in Calvary Chapel, you teach the Bible, you got your pastoring your own church, and what is it that brought you into the Catholic Church? I know it's got to be a number of things, but how did it start? What made it go in that direction? What was it? Someone? Was it something you read? Tell us.
Well, it's a long story, Terry.
And yeah.
I gotta kind of give you the edited version.
Sure.
But, back when I was 18,
yeah,
I had a dream in which I saw one night the Blessed Virgin Mary.
As a Protestant.
As a Protestant.
I love this
and
story.
And I didn't know what to make of this, didn't know how to incorporate it into my life, didn't know how to.
You think?
I wasn't Catholic. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any friends that were Catholic.
Did you know it was the Blessed Mother in a sense, or did you just think of some lovely lady? What connection was made there?
I figured out that it was the Mother of Jesus.
Got it.
Yeah. And she sort of gave me through the ministry or intermediary of an angel,
yes,
guardian angel.
Sure.
Sort of an infused knowledge of the faith and the creed,
wow,
and the Holy Rosary.
Wow.
And showed me what would be my life for the next 30 years.
You know, Father Don Calloway, our listeners know who he is.
Yeah.
He had infused knowledge also with the Blessed Mother. So I guess this is, you know, not so uncommon that Our Lady is evangelizing people who are not Catholic about her.
Well, I wasn't seeking to know God at that time.
Really? Not even seeking?
But I did say a prayer, and she appeared to me just in time, and I started a long road of conversion to bring me back to the faith I had as a childhood.
Now, that was when you were 18. How many years later, I got to laugh, how old were you when you came into the church? 10 years later? 25
no.
years later?
I think it was 40. I've been a Catholic for 20 years, so that was in 1999. I would have been late in my 40s.
From 18 into your 40s, it took you that long? What's your problem, buddy?
It didn't take me long to start. I started on my way, and
yep,
within a year, I had become converted as a evangelical Protestant.
Yes.
And that was at a little church that used to be here in the Covina Park, of all places.
Oh, yes, I remember
for
those.
About 10 years,
yes,
it was called Agape. And
I remember that.
Sort of ran its course, and it doesn't exist any longer. But, yeah, that's where I gave my life to Jesus and decided for the first time as an adult to follow him. Mm-hmm. And that was a great, great time in my life, a wonderful time of blessing. I'm so glad that God brought me to that point.
At that point, were you teaching the Bible at your church?
No. I was only 19 years old.
Oh, you're just a youngster.
Yeah, so. But I did start to prepare to
yeah.
teach. I wound up at Fuller Seminary after I graduated.
Did you really?
From Cal State Long Beach.
Wow.
And sooner or later, we gravitated towards Calvary Chapel because
yeah.
they seemed to be the most explosive.
Yeah, they were.
Explosive, dynamic ministry that was going on at that time. Especially right here in the Southland.
Now, Rob, what brought you in? Actually, made you finally decide that you're going to become a Catholic? Is it any books, any CDs, anything that you actually heard, or you met somebody that answered some questions for you, or was it just decided one day I'm going to become a Catholic?
Well, it wasn't just one day, but I had. I'd come to a point in my life after trying my best to follow my faith as a Protestant.
Yes.
I'd just come to a dead end. I'd resigned from pastoring a church in Payson, Arizona, sort of out of frustration to avoid the church splitting. I was fired, actually, from teaching at the Calvary Chapel Bible School.
Wow. And, why was that?
Well, it was...
Is it doctrinal?
It was, no, it wasn't doctrinal.
Okay,
it was kind of a personality conflict.
Don't tell me. Okay.
Yeah. It was the job I liked most, and the only time I've ever been fired in my life. So,
okay.
It was tough.
I got fired. Relevant Radio fired me once. Yeah, it's okay.
But now you're back on the air.
That's right.
That's good. So I came out of that, and none of my other attempts to be in a ministry position were successful. I couldn't find a home, couldn't find a church where I believed everything that they taught, because I was on this road, and in my mind, I was becoming more Orthodox all along.
No kidding.
I believed in the validity of infant baptism and the real presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper, and I didn't buy in any longer to the rapture theory of that's so central to the
evangelical world. How did you come to those conclusions, world. Though? I mean, were they books that you read?
Studying at Fuller Seminary and preparing for Sunday messages and Bible study. And
my nephew, Dr. Barber, studied at Fuller.
Yeah.
And many of the students that he was there with ended up becoming Catholic. Why is that?
Well, that's where the Bible leads. In becoming Catholic, all the loose ends of all my theology sort of were tied up, and it all made perfect sense. And the Catholic faith is of a whole. It's holistic. It doesn't have any contradictions. It's great consistency all the way through.
Now, let's move on, because I want to talk a little later about a little booklet you put together. It's my teaser, a special creation, A Moral Crisis in the Catholic Church. You put it together for the ColbyCenter.org. We're going to talk more about that. But 1999, now that you're a Catholic, what happens? Would you join the parish? Are you getting involved in any lay apostolates?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just a guess. Before you do that, I didn't realize the music's coming on. When we come back here at Virgin Most Powerful, Rob Otten's going to talk about 1999, he becomes a Catholic, and what does he do to get involved in apostolic work? I think it's awesome what he's doing. You're listening to Virgin Most Powerful, Clarity with Charity. And I want to thank you again for supporting us here at Virgin Most Powerful. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Barbara Nicolosi, and we're having a women's conference here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina on September 7th, 2019. This is going to be a great, great day for you to come and meet a bunch of new friends, wonderful Catholic women who want to deepen their Catholic faith and their understanding of themselves as women. You know, this era right now that we're in, so much confusion. What is it to be a man? What is it to be a woman? You know, the Catholic Church has a lot to say about this, and we're going to hear about them. We're going to hear about John Paul II's letter on women that he wrote from Mary Danielle Barber. She's going to talk about that. She's going to talk about Mary as a model for all of us. It's a topic that we can never reflect on too much. I'm going to talk about Teresa of Avila and the interior castle and how a mystical marriage is what all of us should be called to, or are called to, as Catholics in our prayer lives, and especially as women in the church. Aileen Blakowski is going to talk about motherhood and homeschooling. And then finally, we have Father Charles Murray. He's going to be the celebrant of the Eucharist. He's going to be here hearing confessions. It's going to be an amazing day. We're going to have an hour of adoration together, time to pray, time to laugh, eat, reflect, grow in our passion for our Catholic faith and our identity as Catholic women. You don't want to miss it. You want to come. You want to bring your friends. You want to bring your daughters, your nieces. That's really an affordable day. So go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and you can register for this conference or call 877-526-2151. The Women's Conference is going to be a great event for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles area, Southern California Catholics. You don't want to miss it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess is out of town today. I have my good friend Rob Otten, who's a convert to the Catholic faith from Calvary Chapel. Now, he came into the church in 1999, but he has some interesting things right before he came in that I'd like to ask him to share with our audience on his conversion.
Well, Terry, you know, the Christian life is a mystery. Yep. Everybody's life is a mystery. Mine
That's
is.
True.
People are probably wondering how I could be a Calvary pastor, Calvary Chapel pastor, after having had this series of dreams about the Virgin Mary and
me too.
Receiving an infused knowledge of the faith.
Yep.
I remembered that for about 2 or 3 years, and then it began to gradually fade from my consciousness. All I knew was I was on a road to, first of all, I knew I was on a road to the Catholic Church, but I wasn't ready to convert there. I forgot about that. While I was pastoring Catholic Calvary Chapel, I was completely on board with everything they taught. I thought that was the end all and the be all of Christianity. Like I say, I began to believe in the real presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper, and started to get a little bit pushback over some of those kind of issues. Mm. But it was in this period after that it all kind of blown up and in failure in adult time of falling away and becoming very cynical in my faith. When I started going into a conversion and trying to get my faith back, that's when the memories of this long ago, 30-year-old
wow.
dream of the Blessed Virgin Mary came back to me. And I started to try to recall that and make sense of it. And in the midst of that, that's when I became Catholic. I went down to Fuller Seminary bookstore and picked up a book of the written prayers of St. Francis of Assisi.
Really?
And I had always liked him because he was kind of my idea of a hippie saint. You know, I was a hippie.
But sure.
They had this movie back there, yeah. Brother Sun, Sister Moon. I mm-hmm. thought he was cool. So I liked him and St. Augustine. Most Protestants do. So
yeah.
I read his prayers and I was just amazed how deeply this man loved God. And that could come through in a written prayer, you know, because as an evangelical, you think the epitome of spirituality in a prayer has to be extemporaneous and spontaneous.
Yeah. Sure.
But so a couple weeks later, I found myself praying my first prayer to St. Francis of Assisi. And I can still remember it. St. Francis, help me to see the things that you saw in nature and help me to pray like you prayed. And that was it. I realized I had prayed my first prayer to a saint. And I was also studying a book by another Protestant, James J. I. Packer, Anglican. I was going back to the roots of my faith, so I was studying the Apostles' Creed, and I was particularly focused, you know, on the article of faith that we believe in the communion of saints and what that means, and the theory of that we can pray to the saints because we're brothers and sisters with them. The Holy Spirit lives in us and lives in them. And they are not dead because, they're more alive than we are because death doesn't separate us from one another in Christ. And so we have this mystical communion with them brought about by the Holy Spirit, and we can pray for them. They're in the presence of God right now. If they were committed to the kingdom of God while they were alive on earth, they're even more so now. And so the communion of saints made perfect sense to me. So that's how I was able to pray to
Well, my question is, at Calvary Chapel, I've been there, I've heard them preach against the communion of saints. You never got that teaching when you were there, that this was adultery, that you would be asking? Come on, I mean, that I heard it from Calvary Chapel, say that's wrong. That's just not a biblical teaching.
Of course, the communion of saints to most Protestants is just limited to the people alive and in the room you're gathered together.
That's what they say.
That's about as deep as it goes. Mm-hmm. But there's no reason biblically why it has to be limited to that. In fact, there's lots of reasons, like the saints delivering the prayers of the saints on earth in the Book of Revelation as incense before the throne of God. Anyway,
so continue on.
Nothing dramatically happened at that moment, but a couple weeks later, I said my first prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Really? What was that? Do you remember that prayer?
I think it was some kind of a version of the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how accurate it was, but at that point, I knew that I had crossed a line, and I had to find out everything I could about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Find out where I was going, if this made sense at all. So I picked up the catechism, read it from cover to cover 3 times, picked up the writings of St. Louis Marie de Montfort.
Oh, True Devotion?
True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And one of my favorite books. Just really explains it. The most profound thing I think I've ever learned as a Catholic is the spirituality that we need to have grace to get to heaven. And Jesus is the source of all grace. But no one was ever as close to Jesus as his own mother.
Well said.
Knew him longer and better and deeper and more profoundly and without any taint of sin than anyone else who ever lived. And so to come into union with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the easy way, as St. Louis Marie de Montfort teaches, is to go through true devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And she brings us into that familial relationship with Jesus. You know, makes us makes Jesus our brother because we share the same mother.
I don't want to push you too fast, but I understand that once you became a Catholic, you got involved with the Legion of Mary. Do you think true devotion had something to do with that?
Absolutely.
I kind of thought so.
I was wanting to join the Militia of the Immaculata over here.
Which I'm a member
in West Covina. That's where I first ran into you, Terry.
Oh.
I was wanting to actually join and make my consecration before I was confirmed as a Catholic.
Oh, my gosh.
And I called up and asked him, can I, you know, there's a Marian feast coming up.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. And I asked them, can I join the Militia of the Immaculata now officially?
Yeah.
And they said, well, let's see. In order to join, you have to be a Catholic in good standing. You have to receive Holy Communion and make a good confession on the day. I don't think you can do that. So, but I was converted. I went through RCIA.
Did you?
I had to. I had to jump through all the hoops. So I took a couple years. They want to make sure that you know exactly what you're doing. It's informed consent because it's a big decision to become a Catholic. And so after I was received into the church at the Easter Vigil in 1999, the next Marian feast was the Visitation, right?
Yeah, we just celebrated.
Coming up tomorrow.
Right? Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, and so on that day I made my consecration through the method of St. Maximilian Kolbe to the Immaculata, the Immaculate Virgin Mary, to Jesus through Mary. And within a couple of years, I got involved in the Legion of Mary.
Did you?
Yeah. And I was president of the Pomona Valley Curia of Legion of Mary
for
six or more years. And that was my spirituality. For a lot of people as converts, that's their hardest obstacle to get by is the place of Mary in the Christian life. But not for me. It just made perfect sense. If Jesus tells us we have to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of God, well, you can't be a child without a mother. You can try to be a obnoxious adolescent and think that you don't need your mom. But Jesus gave us his mother from the cross and said, behold your mother. And she helps me to be humble. And helps every Christian to be a humble, like a little child. And I didn't share with you, after I became converted as a Protestant way back, they told me, well, now you're born again. Now you're born again. And I said, well, but I was a Presbyterian. You know, and I was baptized back when I was 18 months old. They said, well, that doesn't mean anything. That was just an empty ritual.
Ah.
And so I always, from that point on, I considered my Christian life to begin when I was 19 years old. And I never looked back on my spirituality as a little child. I forgot completely the love I had for Jesus as a result of my Presbyterian infant baptism, which was in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. It was a valid baptism, conferred grace. I wasn't loving Jesus because I was a good little boy. I was a good little boy because I had received the grace of baptism. So coming up, becoming Catholic now, I began to understand for the first time in my life that my Christian life began when I was baptized in 1953.
Wow.
And the whole part of my life, which is very important, is my childhood faith in Jesus. That I walked away from foolishly. And now I'm in the process of, ever since I've been in the process of trying to recapture that spiritual childhood and become a good little boy again, only grown up.
Do Did you have any devotion as you became a Catholic with the little flower? Because you have such a...
She teaches that spirituality.
Exactly. Did that spiritual attract childhood. You?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I've adopted St. Therese as my baptismal patroness.
Just a guess.
Because we don't have patrons and patronesses at the Presbyterian Church.
I understand. I want to back up because I overheard you say that you read the Catechism several times.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Rob, most Catholics haven't read a page out of the Catechism. I'm sorry to have to say that.
That's a crime.
It's a crime. I agree with you. But when you read the Catechism, now was this during or before or after you were baptized the Catholic, or you came into the Catholic Church?
This was before, 1 or 2 years before, because I had to go through RCIA. I was about a month late entering, so it was a whole other year to study and prepare.
Now, I don't want to point fingers at anybody, but I'm just saying, when you went into RCIA, you've already read the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Was there anything in RCIA that they taught you that you didn't already know?
No. It was just sort of being enculturated into the parish life. But no doctrine. Very, very weak on doctrine.
I was just going to ask you that, and I'll ask you again.
It's a doctrine that converted me.
Yes, but that's my point. So if you, as a convert, what suggestions would you make? And I know we're not in management, we're in sales. But if you had, to give the Catholic Church some advice for converts that come in, would you tell us, as a body of the church, to give us more doctrine in those RCIA programs, and teach people really the fundamentals of the Catholic faith in regards to the sacraments, the fundamentals? Because I hear this from a lot of converts that they go, I listened to Bishop Sheen or I read my catechism. I got more out of that than my 2 years in RCIA because we were just kind of being nice and we didn't want to talk on controversial topics because we didn't want to offend anybody. I don't know if that was your experience, but I hear that a lot, Rob.
That's sort of my experience. I don't spend a lot of time regretting that because it was a good experience for me. But it's not going to teach you the rudiments of the Catholic faith. You have to learn that on your own. And the catechism, a study of the catechism, is probably the best way.
Yeah. When we come back from the break, what I'd like to ask, and before we talk about his special little book on special creation, a moral crisis in the Catholic Church, a convert is going to tell us his take on why he put this little booklet together. So you'll want to hear that. I just want to finish up when we come back on your work as a Catholic now and suggestions that you have for renewing the Catholic Church. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hi, this is Barbara Nicolosi, and we're having a women's conference here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina on September 7th, 2019. This is going to be a great, great day for you to come and meet a bunch of new friends, wonderful Catholic women who want to deepen their Catholic faith and their understanding of themselves as women. You know, this era right now that we're in, so much confusion. What is it to be a man? What is it to be a woman? You know, the Catholic Church has a lot to say about this, and we're going to hear about them. We're going to hear about John Paul II's letter on women that he wrote from Mary Danielle Barber. Is going to talk about that. She's going to talk about Mary as a model for all of us. It's a topic that we can never reflect on too much. I'm going to talk about Teresa of Avila and the interior castle and how a mystical marriage is what all of us should be called to or are called to as Catholics in our prayer lives, and especially as women in the church. Aileen Blakowski is going to talk about motherhood and homeschooling. And then finally, we have Father Charles Murray. He's going to be the celebrant of the Eucharist. He's going to be here hearing confessions. It's going to be an amazing day. We're going to have an hour of adoration together, time to pray, time to laugh, eat, reflect, grow in our passion for our Catholic faith and our identity as Catholic women. You don't want to miss it. You want to come. You want to bring your friends. You want to bring your daughters, your nieces. That's really an affordable day. So go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and you can register for this conference. or call 877-526-2151. The Women's Conference is going to be a great event for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles area, Southern California Catholics. You don't want to miss it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I have Robert Otten, a convert to the Catholic faith, here in studio. It's a special edition. And I wanted him to tell his conversion story. And, you know, he came a Catholic in 1999. He's active with the Legion of Mary, if you just tuned in. Very Marian, now convert as a Catholic. As you know, here at the Terry and Jesse Show, we like to teach people the faith. We like to do it with charity and clarity. And I have heard Rob talk about his opinions on what the church needs. I've gotten emails from you. I've gotten phone calls. I see him at church. And he's very passionate about it. And I said, you know, Rob, here at the Virgin Most Powerful, we are looking for Catholics who are going to stand up against the culture. We know, Rob, that the first 300 years of Christianity, the church grew 20% every decade. And it was because we were contrary to the culture. We were so different than the culture. People saw that and they were attracted to us. But I'm going to set you up with a softball. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to toss it in. You hit. He's a ball player. I know. I've seen him hit. Here's my point. The culture we're in right now, for most Catholics, we vote just like secular people. We act like secular people. We talk like secular people. It seems like in the Catholic Church, now I'm a cradle Catholic, but we're not. It's like we don't let our Catholic faith come out in, you know, what the Second Vatican Council called to sanctify the temporal order. So I'm going to ask you as a convert, what do you see as a solution to getting Catholics back engaged in the culture like we were when they first started the first couple hundred years of Christianity?
Well, I think, Terry, that the church has to realize that the world is not our friend. Mm-hmm. When I read
well said
Gaudium et Spes, the doctrine, mm-hmm. constitution on
very
the church in the modern world.
Yeah,
I couldn't, I was taken aback because it seemed like the council fathers have forgotten the doctrine of original sin,
yeah.
and thought that the world would just happily embrace the message of the gospel if we opened the doors of the church,
yeah.
and the windows of the church and let the world in. But we found out, I think, since the council that the world came into the church, but the church did not is less and less evangelizing the world,
yep.
and so we're losing the battle. We have to realize that all is in the world: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainful pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world,
well,
and we can't love those things. We have to be a countercultural church.
So, I'll give an example: same-sex marriage, abortion on demand. How did that get through with so many Catholics and other Christians living in the culture? How did that get through?
Well, the Second Vatican Council came out of the 1960s and the sexual revolution, the time when the birth control pill was invented and that it was adopted by many Catholics before 1968 when the Pope Paul VI came out with Humanae Vitae.
That's right.
Condemning it, as the church has always condemned artificial contraception.
Mm-hmm.
And so the church has been sort of in rebellion against even the church's sexual moral teachings.
Mm-hmm.
In the book I've written, I get to this because...
Tell us.
The foundations of all our sexual moral teachings in the Catholic faith and in all of Christianity is found in the book of Genesis, in the story of Adam and Eve, in the creation of one man and one woman, mm-hmm. and bringing them together, and the two become one. And therefore, let not any man separate what God has joined together. And that's the definition of marriage. That's the origin of all our teachings about human sexuality, about marriage and the family. But our church, unfortunately, has adopted the world's understanding of what I would call scientism, the belief in evolution, which makes Adam and Eve a myth. It undermines, pulls the rug out from under the foundation of all our sexual teachings. Also, all the books of Moses, actually, the commandments, the commandment against adultery, the commandment for the Sabbath, which says that God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them in 6 days. Mm-hmm. No one believes that any longer. No one believes the flood of Noah. No one believes that Adam and Eve were created and placed in a paradise. We believe that they were cavemen and grew up in a world that was marked from the very beginning by violence and death and destruction and species becoming extinct as a part of this process that a person who believes in theistic evolution would have to say was ordained and developed by God as his vehicle of creating all the higher species of animals in the world. Natural selection and survival of the fittest, a brutal, brutal world, but that runs completely counter to the church's traditional teaching that Adam and Eve and their marriage was real individuals. They grew up in a perfect environment, and all the death, suffering, and pain in the world came into the world as a result of Adam's sin, not as a result of God's plan originally. And God hates all the death and destruction and pain that's in the world today.
If I can just jump in about the preternatural gifts that Adam and Eve had, maybe you never heard that term, but what that means is before the fall, Adam and Eve had knowledge without really working on it. It was infused. In other words, they knew things that they didn't have to study. The effects of the fall with Adam and Eve then work, they had to, you know, sweat with their brow and all that. So what Rob is saying, this is a traditional view of the church that it held for over 1,000 years, talking about creation. And your booklet, again, you're challenging the what I would consider the latest findings of certain church members are saying things that you would say, well, that's not consistent with what was previously taught. And
that's right.
If I'm correct in saying this, correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that if we get this right, we'll turn the church around. If we get it wrong, like we're doing it wrong, that this is part of the problem in the church right now, not getting the creation story correct. And is that a fair statement?
That's totally fair. In fact, I've written a little tract here called A Litmus Test for Modernism. Mm-hmm. And basically it says that if you believe or disbelieve any of the church's traditional teachings, which all the fathers of the church, all the councils of the church, all the official Catholic magisterium believes consistently concerning the existence of Adam and Eve and Noah and the flood and the creation of the world out of nothing in 6 days. If you believe that, you question that, it's because not because you've heard that from any church father or any pope or any encyclical, is because you've adopted the world's false theory of evolution. And even the popes are listening to the Pontifical Academy of Sciences stacked with atheists and agnostic, non-Catholic scientists who this is their religion. It goes beyond the facts of science and it enters into philosophy and theories of evolution. Now, I was educated as a biologist, and I worked for my entire life, most of it except for while I was in the ministry, as a clinical laboratory scientist. Mm-hmm. And I studied this whole question of evolution and creation early on, and I became convinced of the fallacy. There's no mechanism that describes any process that can explain the origin of life from non-created or non-living materials, no mechanism that can explain the origin of man from lower primates. It just is wishful thinking. It's a fairy tale for adults, you might say. It's an alternative, and it allows the non-Christian to think that he has an intellectual respectability and denying the existence of God. So if to the extent that a person has adopted this, they've not gotten it from the official teachings of the church, and it is the first step in calling into question the writings of Moses. And Jesus said that if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? And I believe the church is in a position today where we're no longer believing the words of Moses. They've been questioned. They've been from every angle. We don't even believe that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. I mean, many of the errant, non-traditional theologians in the church teach this. It's a Protestant idea which has come over into the Catholic Church with a vengeance.
We would suggest that you go on our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, and sign the petition on the oath against modernism. And when you read, it's not a long document. It wouldn't take you more than a few minutes to read it. But there's so much you have to ask yourself and say, wait a minute, that's going on right now.
That's a great thing, Terry. It's just tragic that Pope St. Pius X instituted that oath against modernism because he understood modernism better than anyone else.
I would think so.
He understood that it was the greatest threat. It is a synthesis of all heresies, the way he described it. And also he said that the modernists has practically as their foundational doctrine, evolution. And another thing, Our Lady of Fatima.
Talk about her.
This brings in my Marian spirituality and love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our Lady of Fatima said that Russia will spread her errors mm-hmm. throughout the world. Well, we have lots of people, Fatima followers, condemning the errors of Russia. But few, if any, even realize, and even those that realize it, will not publicly proclaim that one of the primary errors, if not the primary error of Russia, was the doctrine of evolution.
Now tell us about
the foundation of atheism. And
there you go. That's
it was the thing that caused Stalin and Lenin to convert and lose their Orthodox faith, and it justified them. One of them, it was either Stalin or Lenin, had a picture, a statue on his desk of an ape sitting on a pile of books, thinking about the creation of the world, and his. Anyway, wherever Russia has spread her errors of communism, they've introduced the theory of evolution to rob people of their faith.
We'll be right back with more on Virgin Most Powerful.
This is Mary Danielle Barber, and I would like to invite you to join us here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina for a True Femininity Be Who You Are Women's Conference, Saturday, September 7th, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Barbara Nicolosi and I will be speaking. It's $35 a person, and you can register at virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We hope to see you at the Women's Conference, September 7th, 2019.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support for the Terry and Jesse Show. We now have a program where you can donate your old jalopy, your old car that you don't want anymore, and 80% of that profit will come right back to the Terry and Jesse Show. You just call 855-500-7433. Tell them you want to donate your car to the Catholic Resource Center, and that will support us. Call 855-500-7433. Thank you, and God love you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, Jesse's out of town. I have my good friend Rob Otten here. He's a convert to the Catholic faith from Calvary Chapel. He's been telling us about a little booklet he put together for the ColbyCenter.org. You can go on the website to look at it. It's a special creation and a moral crisis in the Catholic Church. But Rob, I want to ask you to talk a little bit about Our Lady of Fatima. Here you are, a convert. You've been working with the Legion of Mary. And Our Lady, you talked a little bit about the errors of that Our Lady said about Russia. So what, let's talk a little bit about Our Lady.
Oh, Our Lady is... I don't have enough time to talk about Our Lady because she's wonderful.
Yes.
I love her.
Yep.
I honor her.
Amen.
I don't worship her. No Catholic worships the Blessed Virgin Mary, but Jesus knew we needed a mother for a very good reason in our life, and she's just part of the normal Christian life. Our Lady of Fatima is the most important message, I think, for the world today.
I agree.
I look out at the world, and I hear, even from the church, excuse me, some confusing messages that, we don't know if any soul is actually in hell.
Oh, come on.
Maybe all
that.
People
crazy.
are after death, those that are lost are just annihilated. These are heresies. In fact, all the time as I've been a Catholic, I hardly ever hear the message that was made so clear by Our Lady of Fatima when she showed three little children a vision of hell and says that poor sinners are going there as a result
like
of
snowflakes,
sins
remember?
Committed against the sixth commandment, adultery. She showed this to children, and it seems to be that our hierarchy thinks that this is inappropriate for adults to hear.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. We never hear about purgatory. Our Lady, the only place I think that people are getting this consistent message, which is so important, is in the prayers of Our Lady of Fatima, that she, at Fatima, she asks for a special prayer to be prayed at the end of each decade of the rosary. Oh, my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell.
That's pretty clear, isn't it?
Save us from the fires of hell. And we're reminded that every time we pray that, a decade of the rosary, that hell is a very possible eventuality for us, whether it be the fires of purgatory that will cleanse us purify us and make us ready to go to heaven and see Jesus face to face and not be ashamed because we still have some attachments to sin, but we'd be able to look him eye to eye in the face and love him and receive his love.
Mm-hmm.
Or the fires of hell, which if God forbid we fall from the faith and make shipwreck and reject him. We're reminded of that, but we're not reminded of that in our parishes any longer. I've written a little track here for the conversion of poor sinners and the souls in purgatory. Our Lady refers to the poor souls, poor sinners, poor sinners for the conversion of poor sinners. And traditionally, I realize that the church has always talked about the poor souls in purgatory, but Our Lady puts the emphasis on poor sinners because they're to be most pitied of all because they're blinded by the world's message, and if they do not repent, they're on their way to hell. Our mother doesn't want that to happen. God doesn't want that to happen. But this is life and death. This is the gospel.
Now, Rob, Our Lady also said more souls are going to hell because no one is willing to pray and make sacrifices for them. I hate to tell you this, brother, But in the church, like you said, we're not at odds with the world. So we're living a very comfortable life as a church. And I would say that the message of Fatima really needs to be preached to our parishes so that people will understand that every action is like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. And the bottom line here is implementing the Fatima message is, as Pope Paul VI said, a reaffirmation of the gospel. Rob, with a few minutes left, I want to talk about your book. I want to give a little commercial about the women's retreat, the women's conference that's coming up here at the Sacred Heart Chapel on the 7th of September, almost on the Blessed Mother's birthday. And we're going to have Mary Danielle Barber, my wife. We're going to have Barbara Nicolosi, Dr. Nicolosi, speaking at this Marian conference. So, Dad, if you would want to give your wife a nice gift, get her a ticket to come to the women's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or you can call if you don't want to do it online by calling 877-526-2151. Now, Rob, I've been talking about your little booklet for about an hour now, 45 minutes. What the heck are you talking about? It says special creation and the moral crisis in the Catholic Church. You quote the gospel about when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This seems very timely, my friend. What's your book all about?
Well, it's about the current crisis in the Catholic Church and what I consider the root of it. I trace the history all the way back through the 16th century, back to the 16th century, the adoption of the philosophy, the false philosophy of René Descartes, the theories of evolution and in biology and uniformitarianism, geology.
Those are which big gives words,
us,
brother.
Yeah, it gives us the millions of years, billions of years that are only necessary to make evolution appear to be more conceivable or believable.
Rob, can I interrupt you and just ask this?
Yeah.
I want to know, when you talk about, people say, what's the problem with evolution? In a nutshell, it seems like all the evolutionists who are promoting it have no idea of God in their life. Is that, that's what I think the effect of people who buy into evolution seem to have. Now, I'm not saying always, but it seems like the people who are promoting evolution, a lot of them are atheists.
Well, there's a lot of people, Terry, that are not. They consider themselves theistic evolutionists.
That's right.
It's totally, it's like a marriage of hell and heaven. It's a marriage of the devil and Christ. Christ is the creator. And the theory of evolution came from the pit of hell, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And it's a way to explain and understand the origin of life, which is a miracle in itself.
Leaving God out.
By leaving God out.
And
most Catholics that adopt this theory, they're going on non-infallible statements that seem to favor evolution by the recent popes, but not by any infallible doctrine or dogma.
Mm-hmm.
It goes against the Fourth Lateran Council definition that God created everything ex nihilo, out of nothing, as far as its spiritual and material substance. And then finally he created man, being soul and body, out of nothing. And you can't have an evolution out of nothing. We didn't evolve out of lower animals. God created us just as the book of Genesis says. Out of Adam created out of nothing, out of the dust of the earth, and Eve from Adam's side.
Rob, if people want to pick up your booklet, where should they go and get it at?
This is what a cover looks like. If you go on the Kolbe Center, ColbeCenter.org, Maximilian Kolbe, he realized that after meditating upon the Immaculata all his life long, who are you, Immaculata, that the Immaculata showed the theory of evolution to be false by saying, I am the Immaculate Conception. That's impossible. If Adam and Eve were conceived in the wombs of apes, they are immaculately created. There's a difference and distinction between being created and being conceived. Adam and Eve were sinlessly or immaculately created. Only Mary was immaculately conceived. Her son, Jesus, was an eternal person. although he was conceived in her womb, he existed from all eternity before that. And so he was eternally begotten of the Father without the aid of a mother. He's an eternal being, and he's not a conception, although he was conceived. And so Mary's the only one that could say, I am the one unique Immaculate Conception, and that disproves the theory of evolution, which says that we came from lower animals when we were conceived, as to our first parents, in their wombs. Even though if they were animals, they were without sin, you would say, but that's a lie.
Let me ask you this. If our listener wanted you to come to their parish to speak to their group, whether it's the Legion of Mary or the men's group, men's conference, how could they get a hold of you to ask you to do that, Rob?
I'd be delighted. You can call here and Terry will.
Oh, yeah, I would pass it on. Sure. 877. I'm asking the question. 877-526-2151. And he'd be happy to come out to your parish and give a presentation.
You can get this book for free in a PDF format at thecolbycenter.org. Oh, or you can buy it for $5. I wanted to make it available. Hugh Owen, the wonderful founder of that organization, said, you know, if you make it for free, people won't value it. But for every person that doesn't value it, there'll be somebody else that takes it and reads it because it was free. And I think it's that important a message to get out.
Absolutely. We've been talking to Rob Auten, who is a convert to the Catholic faith. Those who just came in and didn't hear the beginning of the show, I would ask you to go back to the podcast. He talks about his conversion from being a Calvary Chapel pastor to coming into the Catholic Church. And just to summarize, this guy now is involved with the Legion of Mary. I mean, come on. From Calvary Chapel to the Legion of Mary, you'll hear.
Catholic Men's Fellowship.
Yeah,
Knights of Columbus.
Yes.
Militia of the Immaculata, too.
Yeah. And this is just, you know, how God works in mysterious ways. And I want to thank Rob for coming on to doing this show with us. And like I said, I'm going to repeat the ColbyCenter.org. Colby is K-O-L-B-E Center.org. And you can get, like you said, a PDF of the booklet.
Or you can buy it for free.
And there's other stuff on the website.
In a hard copy.
Oh,
it's a fantastic. They have videos explaining creation versus evolution. All the hard facts and science behind it.
Oh, great. I want to take this time again to thank our monthly donors here at Virgin Most Powerful. Every year we have a dinner to say thank you because the monthly donors pay the monthly bills. Now, we've got one coming up in June, but we always have them coming up. So if you are a monthly donor and you don't know about our dinners coming up once a year, just go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, and you'll find out when we have them. Or just call us, 877-526-2151. And by the way, if you're not a monthly donor and you want to come, become a monthly donor by calling the 877-526-2151. Love to see you. This particular event, we're having Mass on June 14th at the Sacred Heart Chapel with the Anglican Ordinate. And then the following day, we have the Men's Conference, but we have dinner right after Mass. So I want to hopefully I'll meet you there or any other time here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. And I want to invite you to our Sunday Mass at 9 o'clock in the morning, every Sunday. Rob will be there. I'll be there. Rob, I asked Jesse this question. What state should you be living in?
The state of grace.
And what state shouldn't you be living in, brother?
The state of mortal sin.
That's right. I want to thank everybody again for making Virgin Most Powerful. For 18 months we've been on the air. With your support, we'll continue to do what we do best, and that is to promote the Catholic faith with charity and clarity. And again, I want to thank you for all your help, and I want to ask you to pray a prayer for Fulton Sheen's cause for canonization, because we could sure use a saint like Fulton Sheen in the days we're living in now. May God richly bless you, and full Sheen ahead.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.